Brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles, thanking God. That's right where we go each time. Open our Bibles. Hallelujah. Thank God for this. Hallelujah. Now, we're going back to Philemon. And tonight, God willing, we're going to conclude this shortest of Paul's epistles. And what a little powerful, packed couple of pages. Not even couple of pages. Really, just about a page. It is. And I have to tell you, it still really leaves me in awe to think that the Lord was not going to let this be overlooked. It was not going to be overlooked. This precise, exact little letter was going to bring out one thing, main thing, that was so vitally important for Philemon. To receive. Again, Philemon, a man full of faith and love. A man, praise God, that had love to all the saints. But this letter and this message had to reach him. And this letter and this message, brothers and sisters, has to reach us. And that message is to love all the brethren, and especially all the dearly beloved brethren, and to love them as Christ himself, because it's his very body. Now, sometimes when people hear me say that, they get a little bit nervous or flinch. Now, we're speaking of the agape love here. And brothers and sisters, God, as we know, has called us and chosen us and given us great, great grace in this time that we live. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding. To know that Jesus Christ will have a bride. And that we live in the age and the day that the Father is seeking such. He's searching. That Holy Ghost is out ministering and wooing to find the true worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth. And in this, brothers and sisters, we know that in God and his divine love for us and his divine love for his son, he's going to have this wife that will love him completely, totally. And I want to make this fully known. Christ is not complete until he has his body with him. And I thank God right now, brothers and sisters, the Lord has been encouraging us in that precious scripture about not to me only, as Paul said, but to all them also that love his appearing. And I thank Jesus how he's been bringing this to us very evidently. That yes, it's loving his appearing. And yes, when I do see him face to face as we sang tonight. But who wouldn't love the appearing of the Lord that is looking for him? But brothers and sisters, it's even deeper, as we know, to love the appearing of the Lord in one another. And this is what this letter is getting at. And then, praise be to God, to love the appearing of the Lord in myself. That truly is my first love, not me, but Christ in me and Christ in you, the hope of glory. And she will love the body as the head because it's him. And this is what this precious, precious letter is all about. Now you see, without the love and the one that Philemon was having an issue with, and remember the name Philemon means one who kisses. This is to the true worshiper who worships him in spirit and in truth. If you want it. Now Philemon again, he embodied all of it. Praise be to God. He had it all. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Neutral we cannot be. Complacent we cannot be. It's wonderful that we've run well. But you run well always by God's grace. And the most important time to run well is now. Because he could come. And in this precious letter of encouragement to Philemon, to the one who kisses, and to us, is without that love for that brother that's disappointed you. Without that love for that one that maybe has hurt you. And his name, by the way, was Onesimus. Philemon, without that love, would not finish with full joy. Because a root of bitterness, brothers and sisters, would have burdened him. It would have been harbored in his life. So Philemon, he knew this Onesimus very well, as we have read. And somehow, some way, this brother had greatly disappointed him. This brother had probably done him very wrong. But now Onesimus has turned to go after God. And Paul says specifically to Philemon, because Philemon does treasure brother Paul. He loves Paul. He loves Paul with that agape love. He knows that he was the chosen vessel that brought that message of the high calling of God to him. But here's Onesimus. And oh, I got a problem with him. I could see him just shaking his head. Oh, Paul. Anybody maybe but him. I've forgiven him. I'm okay with him. But just don't have him come back into my church. Huh? Come on now. Oh, he blew it big time one time. Two times. Maybe for years. But I think I've forgiven him. But just don't have him come back to my church. Okay. I think you get it. Now, obviously this brother Onesimus, he had a repentant heart. And the reason I can say that is because he had precious divine fellowship with brother Paul. And now the responsibility, praise be to God, of the full overcomer is on Philemon. Is on Philemon. Onesimus, which is so precious, he had the victory of grace to go back to Philemon. Isn't that wonderful? You know, a lot of times when we've hurt somebody and disappointed somebody, even though you know now that you've wronged them and hurt them, sometimes it's very hard to go back. Sometimes it's hard to come in these doors. Oh, I want to be, praise God, as that father was to the prodigal and meet him with a big fat kiss. Do you see how good it is for us, this body? That's rejoicing like none other. It really is. And this is what Paul was so loving and encouraged about, what the Holy Ghost had done, taking the love of God and shed it abroad in this brother's heart that had been a failure to rise up and to be useful. Remember, he was useless, right? We all raised our hands and said, hey, Lord, I've been useless for a long time. But God. And how wonderful. But here it was that Philemon needed to have the same love that he had for Paul. And if it was lacking and not fully empowered with the Spirit, the result in refusing this restoration could be the sin that's so easily besetting that he missed God's best in that lack of faith. This is important. See, the Philadelphia love is not perfected in us, brothers and sisters, until we have love to all the saints. Not toleration to all the saints. Not just forgiving. Really, not just even forgetting. But to really have a heart that wants restoration. You want to restore. That's spiritual, isn't it? By God's grace, I pray. And it's not just about this place. I hope we understand that. It's about the message that God gives us to rejoice in. I pray there's not a one that we wouldn't want to see walking through these doors to come into the fellowship of the gospel of Christ, Paul's gospel. Amen? Praise God. And see, these are things, brothers and sisters, as we even spoke on Sunday about, Lord, search me. I do. I want to love like that because it's you in me, not me. It's you. This isn't to feel good about myself. This is, praise God, all to do with love. Remember, two times, for love's sake. Philemon, don't do this for my sake. Don't do this just to try to please me because you love me. Do this for love's sake. All right? Let that really convict our hearts. So now let's go ahead and read from verse 22, and we'll close it out tonight. Paul says, "But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Lucas, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Now, notice the gravity of what's being said in that 22nd verse. "But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." And I love that, brothers and sisters. "But withal, prepare me a lodging." Think who's saying this. Think who's saying this to you. This is Paul's gospel saying this to you. Prepare me a lodging. See, this is the finishing power of it all. This is the culmination of this letter. This is how it's all going to be performed by God's grace. When you give my gospel the lodging place in your heart, all of this will come forth. See, you can't love, but the word of his grace in your life loves. It can't help but love. And this is the gospel, praise God, of the lover. Paul's gospel is the gospel of the lover. Praise his name. It's the true worshiper gospel. It's the ones who sit at his feet and have chosen the better part gospel. Praise God. It includes all of the other, but it's specifically the lover's gospel. I love that. This is the intimacy. This is to know him gospel. To know the love of Christ. Amen? And in that word knowledge, we know that it's the husband and wife knowledge, the most intimate knowledge there could ever be. That's the type and the shadow that God gives us here. And this is exactly what this brother is being encouraged of. This is the lodging. "Let my gospel lodge, let it dwell, let it reside in you, and all of the fruit will come forth. You will be fully finished." And that word prepare, oh my goodness. I looked that up and it means to clear it out. Level the roads. Make them passable. See, you want Paul's gospel to come and lodge with you, a staying place? You can't be hit and miss with this. This is, by the grace of God, you got to be all in. You want to come after me? You really do, huh? You want to take up that cross? You're going to deny self. Willingly, joyfully, because of love's sake. Amen? Not out of duty. You'll never take up your cross in that. You passed it right by in your self-righteousness. But you'll do it for love's sake. You'll willingly leave the familiar, the father, the mother, the sister, the brother. They won't come before him. There won't be anything. That way will be prepared because of love's sake. All on the altar, convinced, serious. This is a King David delirious. If by any means is just what it says. Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you are my first love. Praise be to God. There are a few. And if you're one of them, I know what already exists in you. It's the greatest of thankfulness and gratitude to God. Thank you, Lord, for letting me see this. Thank you, God, for letting me enter into this. Thank you, Lord, that you have allowed me to see Jesus loves me, this I know. How simple, how precious. That when the word of the Lord says it, he means it. It's yea and amen. His promises are forever, ever true. Praise the Lord. Now, you think about prepare the way. Level the roads. Make them passable. I'll put it in terms for us. Get rid of all the junk. And I'm talking about the junk of why you won't. I'm talking about the junk of why you can't. I'm talking about letting go of every weight. Can't be holding on to anything. Count it all but dung but for the excellency of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now what's going to do that? Love. Period. Again, that's not out of my self-works. That's the grace of God. Love makes the way. It does. Love causes you to will and to do of His good pleasure. I'm grateful to God. There was times in my life, even growing up in here, that I used to be motivated oftentimes by guilt. Self-condemnation. Lots of things like that. But I let go of those childish ways. I left them. And I thank God you grow up in love. You talk about the liberty of Christ. And you just thank Him again for His unmerited, unending, unfathomable, incredible, anointed, powerful love. And that's what this is about. And I thank God how incredible that it truly is, all from the lodging place of the word of His grace in Paul's gospel. Just a couple things to rejoice with you, and turn over to Philippians chapter 1, verse 25. I think we were there just a few days ago. It says, and having this confidence, this is Brother Paul telling them. And again, these are to the horses, the Philippians, the runners. Praise the Lord. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and joy of faith. You want your faith to go deeper and to go on and on and on? It's going to be because of Paul's gospel. You want your faith by God's grace to be joy? I'm talking about the joy unspeakable and full of glory joy, the full joy joy that you finish with joy. It's going to be in Paul's gospel. You don't have to twist the words around. It's just what it says. You go over here to 2 Timothy 2:7. And what does it say? Paul tells Timothy very clearly, consider what I say, Timothy, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now that is just all powerful. Praise God, I don't have to go here and there. Thank God that I know that the Bible tells me so. I take heed, and again, this is the word of the Lord, but it came through this vessel, and it was called Paul's gospel. But I take heed to that, and I grow in that grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I eat that strong meat. I'll grow up into Him in all things. I'll have eyes that have a vision. I'll be able by God's grace because of the Spirit to be led into all truth and to see that precious message of Paul's gospel just popping out throughout Genesis and Exodus, and Deuteronomy, and Isaiah, Song of Solomon, Proverbs, everywhere. But it's all going to come through what? Through Paul. It is. By my Spirit. But he said, consider what I say, doesn't it? And he will give you understanding in all things. How much clearer could it be? And yet we think we're going to hit it here and hit it there and hit it over there, and somehow that's going to give me more understanding. It's not. It's the word of the Lord. And I thank God how this is beginning to grip us so precious. But that's what Paul's gospel performs. And how it all happens is in the second part of this sweet 22nd verse. And I do want to mention where it says in that 22nd verse of Philemon, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. That word trust, it means fully confident. I'm fully confident
that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Listen to that. So how does it all happen? You pray for it. Amen. You pray. You pray believing. Hallelujah. It says some things, as Peter said, some things Paul says are hard to be understood. Pray. Pray. You be otherwise minded. He said, I'll make it known to you. Paul, in that precious verse that we just read, he said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Pray. And pray what? Pray according to the word of God. You're having a difficult time receiving the Holy Ghost? Pray. Don't try to figure out how you can feel better about some morphed up interpretation of the word of God. Don't do that. You'll hurt yourself. The word is true. And the word is exact. Continue in prayer. Pray always. Pray believing. This is the will of the Lord that we come to the full intimate knowledge as a husband and a wife. It's the will of God. That's who put this in our hearts. That's by His Spirit that this comes to pass. And we have got a promise. Go over to John 7:17 and read that with me. How wonderful. You hear me quote it? Some people say, oh, it doesn't read like that. Well, you got to read as it really is written. It says, if any man willeth to do, he shall know of the doctrine whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. I'll interpret it very clearly. He that wills to know will know. Because this is the will of God. He would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. That's you. All mankind. Praise the Lord. I was dealing with a Calvinist today. And it was a sweet time. And I thank God. I thought I was going to have to go out and see him. And God willing, I might on Saturday. But we got to talk. And can you imagine, even before that, on a telephone. No texting or email, but on a telephone. And how sweet. I said, whom he foreknew. He says, I think I can leave it there. I said, leave it there. See, God doesn't contradict himself. He said, I would that all men be saved. So he's not a respecter of person, is he? Well, no. I said, so whom he foreknew. God does know who's going to believe him. You know it. Because whom he foreknew, God knows all. So, this is some sweet stuff here. And this is his will, that we would know the will of God. And we will know by grace through praying. Pray according to his will. Believe. Do you believe the word of God where it says, ask anything in my name and I will do it? I'll tell you one thing that's assuredly, you pray according to the will of God, you're in a good standing, a real good state. Hallelujah. Now, I think about if there's anything that the Lord once performed in your life, this is it. Amen? Take him up on it. Don't wrestle with it. See, that's just the lies of the enemy. God wants this for you. You know this. We rejoice in this message. But that is the fight of good faith. That is. That's the good fight of faith, brothers and sisters, to believe, praise God, that this is mine, as he said it. Ask and ye shall receive. But I always also remind people, they get real bold, and I thank the Lord they do. And I said, now remember, he's coming for your words. And let me tell you something, he's a God full of godly jealousy. And that godly jealousy is going to blanket your life. And it's never going to sit right. It's never going to sit right until you fully go. Because he heard you say it. And you meant it when you said it. Jesus, I love you. And I do want your best. I want to go. And praise be to God, he's got just the servant, that Holy Ghost, to get the job done. So thanks be to God that oftentimes it's uncomfortable in a comfortable way as we look into the Word of God, how much He loves us. Hallelujah. But then it goes on to say there in verse 23, salute. And that word salute means to receive joyfully. See how these brothers, the detail and how they greet. It's just real. It's just open. It's sincere. They love one another. And they receive one another joyfully. And that's why I say, I tease some people sometimes, and I better stop. I don't want to get too detailed. We're going to teach you how to hug. You know, they stick out a hand, and it's like a wrestle match, you know. I don't really know how we're going to do this. And I think, oh, my goodness. But the love of God makes you love everybody. And you need to learn to just let the love of God melt you. And a good hug is a melt. And you love Him. And, you know, God help us to understand, too, you always be appropriate in your greetings, brothers and sisters. And I mean that very sincerely. We don't want to provoke anybody at all. If somebody doesn't feel comfortable, and I think this is a good time to bring this up, you don't force yourself upon anyone. And you don't make them feel bad because they didn't receive you either. You pray, and you love, and you respect. And praise God how that opens lives. And we're always to be appropriate in that manner. And don't think you're beyond anything either. Your flesh. And I've been, not that I'm any old guy, but I've been around it long enough that I know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Amen? So, let's love with the love of God. All right. So, I thank God in receiving ones joyfully. I believe we're on good track, brothers and sisters. We're on the love track. And he says, salute Epaphras. That's the first one here. And Epaphras' name means lovely. And that was the beloved fellow servant of Paul. And these ones that he's mentioning right here were all at Colos, the church of Colos, with Onesimus, and they labored together, see, in Christ, in preaching and exhorting Paul's gospel. See, Paul is encouraging, again, Philemon. Philemon knows all of these other brothers. He does. He knows them. He knows of them. And he's letting him know that Onesimus has kept some good company here. He truly has entered in to that divine fellowship. Receive him. Don't ignore him. Don't shun him. Receive him. And I thank God that, again, this Epaphras was one that labored together in Christ, preaching, exhorting Paul's gospel to the saints at Colos. And they received the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There, you read that book of Colossians. It's so wonderful. Paul's fellow prisoner, it says here in Christ Jesus. And how wonderful that Paul would note that you were a prisoner of the love of Christ. Hallelujah. We're shut up to him. A good place to be. Might not be real popular around town, but oh my goodness, you're sure a salve to the body. And then it goes on to say the name Marcus, and Marcus's name means defense. And thanks be to God, there's lovely, and you stand in defense of that gospel of Christ. And again, he was there and speaking to the church at Colos. And if you remember, this Marcus was Barnabas's nephew. And this is the same Mark, by the way, that was really the catalyst when there was that great dissension with Barnabas and Paul. All right? Can you imagine how this guy felt? I was the one that maybe caused you. Could you imagine the guilt maybe he had for this kind of thing going down? I was the one that caused, you know how you can be sometimes. Man, did I accidentally do that? I didn't mean to. I just showed up and bam! He had to take a lot of grace, didn't he? And then you think about, too, see, Paul didn't want him to go. It was Barnabas that wanted him to go on that missionary journey with them. Paul said, you're not going to take him.
I can share something with you a long time back, and it was very precious to my heart. Our precious pastor, Brother Hill, there was a time I was working with the children even at night in the young people's group. And I so enjoyed that. I always loved working with the young people. But something got kind of crossways. And actually, it was a sister in the Lord that was going to hurt me and said something to Brother Hill. And Brother Hill just had already made up his mind. And I was going to say something, but Brother Hill removed me from that position. And I honestly, by God's grace, can testify that I shouldn't have been, but God willed that in my life. And it hurt me at first, very much so. And I wondered why. But soon after, God gave me peace that the Lord was working something in my life. And then God opened up other things in different ways that he used me to minister to young people. And I was thankful to the Lord in this place. And God used that. Just a small thing compared to this. But see, Mark, he didn't turn away. He didn't get discouraged and say, you know, I really had a good intention and I really felt I could have been useful. And man, Paul, you got all over me for nothing. And yet Mark, even though he didn't go on that trip, if you read through the Gospels of, the epistles of Paul, you realize that this brother, Mark, he's mentioned over and over as such a precious defender for Paul's gospel. And it says in 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul says about Mark, he was profitable to my ministry. That's who I want to be. How about you? I want to be profitable to the ministry of Paul. Praise the Lord. And that's what this is. And I thank God for that. Aristarchus. His name means best ruler. Isn't that wonderful? Not just a ruler, but the best ruler. Kings. Hallelujah. It's all over this, isn't it? And Aristarchus was Paul's companion in Ephesus. It says that in Acts 19:29. He extensively traveled with Paul. He was mentioned throughout many of Paul's journeys. And again, what a fellow laborer. Then the next one is Demas. And I think you remember about Demas as we read about him in Timothy. He was a brother that ran so well. He again was one of those fellow laborers with Paul ministering to that church in Colossae. Mighty in assisting for the furtherance of the gospel. But so sadly, in 2 Timothy 4:10, and I'll read you that. In 2 Timothy 4:10, it says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." And if you recall, Demas's name means popular. He went after the things that the eyes can see. It was the easier way. I'm confident that he saw that the things that were starting to face Paul and those who were standing for Paul's gospel. Let me tell you something, it wasn't a popular thing at that time. It was rough. If you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. And they were living it. And Demas, so sadly, turned away. And I really want you to understand this, brothers and sisters. It is all by grace, and you continue on all by grace. And but for the grace of God, there go I, and it's not over till it's over. And by the grace of God, may we run well always, and especially right now, because Jesus is coming. Then finally, Lucas. And I thank God for Brother Ty here and how he's brought out so much about Luke and what a light giver Luke is. And that's his name, light giving. Think of all these precious names. I pray God that this is manifest in us, brothers and sisters. But Luke was a precious physician. See, can you imagine all of these different walks of life, whether it was a tax collector, a physician, an idol maker, as we read about a Jewish lawyer? God can get to them all. He is not a respecter of person, and nothing's hard for God. So when you're praying for people or when you're just shaking your head, get down on your knees and say, nothing's hard for God. So, he by grace was one who personally accounted and was part of many of the mighty things of Paul's life. If you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, only Luke is with me. This is the last thing Paul's writing here before he's going to be murdered. Only Luke is with me. Isn't that something? I'll tell you, that's a light giver if I've ever heard one. Complete abandonment in Paul's life at this time. And yet Luke was aflame in a very dark time that Paul was going through, as all in Asia had forsaken him. Huh? Well, I'll tell you what a majority that was. And I thank God again for that precious fellowship that they had. And then we'll wrap it up here in verse 25 tonight. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And this is said so very precisely here. It's very unique that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, we know that the grace of God, praise the Lord, is always with us. Always with you. I thank the Lord for that. But it's with your spirit that really makes all the difference. With your spirit is when grace, by grace, you allow God to open up every part of your being and let grace reign. When by the grace of God, we let grace be profitable in our life and not be made vain. Hallelujah. Grace fully embraced, that it's made all sufficiency in all things to superabound to every good work. See, it's always there, isn't it? We know that. And it's in all, it's the all sufficiency. Always there, always superabounding to every good work. But again, will we lay hold of it? Will we take it? Will we believe by God's grace in His great love for us? No matter that moment that we face, didn't matter what happened even a moment ago or how much in the past, the Lord, by the grace of God, says, forgetting those things which are behind. That's done. That is done. All I've got is now. That's it. And by God's grace, I want to apprehend that grace. Praise the Lord. I don't care what I was thinking about 5 minutes ago. Good, bad, indifferent really doesn't matter. What matters is now. And I thank the Lord how He has that starting to really grip our hearts, brothers and sisters, that by grace, we never miss an opportunity for grace to be effective and operating in our lives. God, help me to be tender. See, when you're tender, you'll receive grace. He gives grace to the humble. You start getting proud, He sees you afar off. You won't receive that grace. He loves that broken heart and that contrite spirit. He loves that. There's nothing sweeter. He loves that one that is glorying in their infirmities. I was back there in that precious 12th chapter of Corinthians, reading and rejoicing, praise God, and how He gloried in His infirmity. He knew that, praise God, that the Lord in His great grace had sent Satan to buffet him. Can you imagine that? To buffet him. You got some thorns there, son, and those are the most precious things of your life. Rejoice in them. Because without them, you would be exalted. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my goodness, brothers and sisters. We all got some down settings. Rejoice in those. Really. Because that's when you really got to lay that head upon His breast. You know what I'm saying? I just ask the Lord Help me to have great faith in that. Great faith in my weakness. Praise the Lord. Because it's then that he is strong. Great faith, praise God, in that infirmity. Because that's when the power of Christ rests upon my life. I thank God for that. I'd almost scare you if I said too many things about my life. But, you know, I will tell you very sincerely. Insecurity has run rampant through my life. I don't just say that in any slight way. People knowing me, the man that came in the meeting the other day and praised the Lord for Sunday morning, "Oh, you look so comfortable up there. It's so amazing." I said, "Man, if you only knew. You only knew." I thank God I'm comfortable in him. But I never want to be comfortable in a sense in me. You know what I'm saying? That I think I can do something. Because I know I can't do anything. And I really am beginning to know that in the most beautiful way. But I'm understanding that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So as I show up and he brings me throughout the day, it's not that I'm looking for my sweet spot. I'm not. You can do it, Lord. And you'll do it exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. We learn in that. See, we are learning that. And it's becoming our rejoicing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. See, I don't want to walk around life patting myself on the back for how great I can do something. That's man, isn't it? They're going to praise you for your talent. Amen? And then as that begins to fade, they tear you down. Oh, yes, they do. So see, I would rather just praise the one from whom everything comes. And I'm so grateful for that. But I'm talking about now, as we finish this up, think about this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now we're talking about allowing grace to be the effective power, the effective operation of our life. We're talking about you fail and you take the grace to rise up. Amen? That's incredible. That's like with Mark here. How wonderful. That's like with Onesimus here. How wonderful. He was a flop. He was useless. And people told him that. He was sent away because of that. And ran away because of that. But God. Amen? But how many people would, here comes Onesimus back. How dare you? See, that's the prodigal's brother. How dare you come back? And if you come back, how dare you expect anything here that would be in the palace? You get out in the barnyard. Huh? That's powerful grace. Receiving grace in your failure. That broken heart, that contrite spirit, but yet knowing if God be for me, who could be against me? I am now a son of God. I understand that failure was the lie. As that precious one came to David and he said, "David, you're the man. You're that man." Oh, and it crushed him. But thanks be to God, the man after God's own heart, he arose. And God's made me a king. Huh? I don't need to go pretend I'm something else. Oh, it might make you all feel good that I go over here and I bawl. Oh, I'm so sorry. There are people nutty enough that say, "Well, we need a better apology."
But they'll never be satisfied with any apology because they're not looking to God.
All right. How about taking the grace when you're greatly offended and you receive the grace not to just forgive, but as we said earlier, but to restore? See, people will say, well, I forgave them, but I don't want to have anything to do with them. Don't do that. Don't do that. That, again, that father that met the prodigal, not only did he forgive, wasn't even thinking about the forgiveness, it was just done. It was the reward that he wanted to reward him with. I've just been waiting with this feast all the time, honey. I've just been waiting for you to come home. I've had this coat. I had this ring. Oh, what do you mean you blew all the money? It don't matter. We never run out here. All I wanted you to do was come home. Huh? I want to live in Canaan now. Praise God. Pray for us. Amen. We pray for one another. Be a vessel capturing all the grace. See how happy people that live grace are? They're joyful, aren't they? They're just joyful. They're not looking to themselves in a sense, you've wronged me. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm trying to say, let's go. Let's run. Let's quit as children. And let's grow up and run. We've heard this message too long. And it's the truth. It's time to rise up. Be men of God. Praise the Lord. Mighty men. No excuse. We're not murmurers. That's not what we were called to do. Strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. So again, receiving all that grace and being a vessel that adds to the usefulness of the husband, that's your spirit with grace. And you know who they are because they admit glory to glory at every turn. Yes, they're joyful. They have the joy of faith. They are lovers. They love to love the saints. Praise the Lord. And I will have to say, this is quite an encouragement to this brother. And I pray to God it's quite an encouragement to us. Because let me tell you something. This is mighty important. This is vitally important. Without receiving this message, Philemon would have not been complete in finishing with a full joy. Sometimes the little things are the biggest thing. And this is a love of love chapter. For love's sake. Amen? No other reason. Because if you do it for any other reason, you missed it. For love's sake. Praise the Lord. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.